Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Optional Opinion here on the Nominous Radio Network. Thank you guys for joining me tonight. My name is Eddie V. And wow, it's September 11th. And just paying respect to all those who lost their lives and to the families and all to the firefighters and policemen and all the people, the first responders, you know, showing them respect. I hope everyone had a good September 11th and they were able to, you know, remember the people who lost their lives on September 11th, 2001, back in that time. Hopefully everybody was able to get through today. You know, there's probably some people who did cry and have some breakdowns and things like that. But, you know, I hope people were able to show a lot of people respect who are first responders. So salute to those who are still going on strong. It has actually been, I think, 13 years to mark today, 13 years. And I haven't really, don't know if anything on TV, they were showing it all day on TV about what happened on September 11th. But there should be an archive where people could go and see it if they don't know nothing about it or anything like that. But I'm actually going to get into today's. I have a lot of news. I was trying to get some of the new stuff out yesterday, but there was service maintenance going on, and I believe there's still some that's going on today. I'm still able to record the show. So I did postpone it yesterday just to make sure that, you know, if there was going to be any problems, I wouldn't have any hiccups and stuff. So it just seems that it's still going on strong. So hopefully people who listen to this and tune in that I come loud and clear. And hopefully you guys enjoy tonight's topic. A lot of ums. Tonight's topic, is it good to be a Vile gamer? There's a lot of things that with the Zoe Quinn and people who've been saying a lot of just negative things on a lot of on blogs, Twitter, Facebook, just the comment section. And, you know, even in like the gamer community and stuff, I kind of wonder, is it justifiable for people who does things like that, whether it's to another man or to another female gamer, or, you know, like I said, just the community, like, what justifies you to say the things of hatred, of, you know, just hatred and bigotry and just things in a discussion? Why a lot of people can't, you know, have a good discussion and offer their opinion on something in a respectable manner. And it seems that a lot of people, whether they're old or young or anything like that, there's some kind of rage inside of them that they think that if they spew all the stuff to it, that they're going to win the argument or they're going to win the discussion. And, you know, it's going to make them look as a better person, but it really doesn't. That's just a little bit of my opinion. I'm going to get into more of that, but I have tons and tons of news that has been going on. I am glad that everybody is enjoying Destiny. A lot of websites still haven't posted their webs reviews yet, but it's probably going to be in the 8s or the 9s. It may be a 10 somewhere, but I just don't know yet. But I'm going to actually get into the news. And the news, all these articles that I'm going to be reading range from Destructoid, Game Politics, Game Informer, and IGN. So just bear with me, and you guys can also check these out on their personal websites. The first one is Xbox One Japanese launch sales are just terrible. And this is from these first ones that's coming are from Destructoid. And this is by Kyle McGregor. He writes, Xbox One sold 23,562 units in Japan during its opening week. for Mitsubishi ports, while data tracker from Media Create estimates a total of 25,674. The numbers are ugly no matter how you slice them. For reference, the Wii U and PlayStation 4 both moved more than 300,000 units in their Japanese debuts, while Xbox 360 launch figures in the country topped 60,000 in 2005. Japan's best-selling Xbox One game thus far is Titanfall, with 22,416 copies sold. Kinect Sports Rivals and Dead Rising 3 trail at the number 2 and 3 with 14,191 and 7,330 sales respectively. And to think about it, the Microsoft brand is not really big in Japan right now. Even with the 360, them selling 60,000, you know, 60,000, it's kind of weird that, you know, the DS, when it came out, it was continually being the Xbox One. Heck, I think the Game Boy Advance and maybe even the GameCube still have been an Xbox. I believe this may be one of the lowest console launches released in Japan. People have been talking about wondering what the sale will be, like the numbers for it. And to see that the estimated is 25,674, that doesn't bode well. I know there's been pictures on Twitter and things like that showing that they got cones and stuff out there, but there's been no lines for, you know, no buzz in the lines. So people probably just walked into the store, bought the system, brought the game, and came out. It's good to see that Titanfall is the only number one game, but that's really sad. You know, it's kind of like a 1-to-1 ratio with that. How Kinect Sports Rivals, and, you know, Dead Rising 3, I can understand. Kinect Sports Rivals, that one's really, really weird on how that one got in. You know, I would expect maybe Call of Duty or something from Japan. I don't know if there has any like really Japanese games besides Dead Rising 3 on the system. I thought something like that would do it, but it just seems that it's not looking real good. So we should actually see in the coming months, or even by Christmas, or even by next year, how that all turns out. Moving on to the next story from Destructoid. Just one second as it loads. There we go. Nintendo wants to tempt you with two other 3DS XL designs. And this one, while the story loads, these are both going to be only sold through GameStop. This is one that's by Brittany Vincent. She's one of the contributors at Destructoid. And it goes as follows. Just when you thought you were ready to jump ship for a new 3DS, Nintendo announces several more systems in an attempt to swag you into buying yet another 3DS XL you don't need. And that's not even counting the sweet Persona Q model that Dale told you about. Dale North, he's one of the writers for Destructoid, and I'll be talking about that one a little bit later. There's already been about four that I've almost hopped on, but I've been able to hold out this far. First up, we'll be quite familiar. We all heard tale of it across the internet for some time. The Super Smash Bros. Editions will go on sale on September 19th for $199 in preparation for the October 3rd launch of Super Smash Bros. For Nintendo 3DS. And it's bright red and blazing with the cast of characters from the game. Unfortunately, the system does not come with the game. Bummer. Also, you'll only be able to get it at GameStop. Second, we got what could have been a gorgeous NES design that marred by having the entire NES controller on the lid. The inside looks okay, but they really screwed up by making it this unattractive. Had they, as our own Kyle has suggested, made the lid look like the NES, like the Game Boy Advance SP, it would have really made a splash Instead, it's a little disappointing now. Even though the inside is pretty cool, it's coming to GameStop as an exclusive on October 10th. So yeah, you'll have to go to GameStop for these. Sorry, she replies. And it's kind of cool. The box of the of the NES controller one. This is kind of cool. But on the actual 3DS, they have the Nintendo control, controller. And then it's just the system, and I think it's like red buttons, and it looks, it's like a light gray of it. So, I mean, it looks kind of cool. I don't have much to say about it. If anyone has seen the new 3DSs that they show for the Japanese Direct, that's supposed to be coming out there. The 3DS LL is what they call it over here. They have a Super Famicom one for just the regular 3DS. And it's majority is white, I believe. But the colors are the Super Famicom colors from their controllers, which is really, really nice. We won't get it here. I wish we did, but it just happens to go that way. Moving on to the next story, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure HD has been delisted on the Xbox Live Arcade. And this is by Chris Carter. He's the reviewer for Destructoid. It's a sad day when something gets delisted on a digital storefront. In terms of physical media, we don't really have anything comparable, as so many copies are generally out in the wild after any release. Even the rare games still exist. Well, this week's JoJo Bizarre Adventure HD has been delisted on the Xbox Live Arcade. No reason has been given why, but the game no longer exists on the market. The PSN version is still standing. As is the case with most delistings, current owners can still download the game. So if you already bought the game, you're able to pick it up. And anyone who knows JoJo Bizarre Adventure is a Capcom fighting game, but it's also a manga. I know a little bit of it, but I really haven't played any of the games or read really any of the mangas. It's a rare kind of story, and it's like really long. They say it's pretty good though. But that's, it is what it is. Getting back to the stories though, this is the Persona Q story that I spoke about just earlier from the Nintendo 3DS. And this one is by Dale Northeast, the editor-in-chief. Goes, Persona Q edition of Nintendo 3DS coming to US. We get some of the limited edition 3DS systems, but we miss out on the better ones in USA. But this one makes up for it all. Nintendo will release the Persona Q 3DS XL here, exclusively at GameStop. $199 will give you this Velvet Room themed system, sold as a hardware-only release. In other words, keep your Persona Q pre-order. Alice says that the Persona Q 3DS XL will be available in limited quantities. Get your pre-order in. As for the game, look for its release on November 25th. I hear it's pretty good, and there's a link for it. And then he puts "want" in capital letters. And it looks really nice. It has a star on it. It says Le Grimoire de Cure. I believe that's what it is. It's mostly blue, and it got like a diamond plated black background. So there's one light blue and then a dark blue diamond. So, and it goes all the way down. It's very, very nice. And then it says Persona Q Shadow of the Labyrinth, and then it has the Nintendo 3DS XL and then Atlas. And so there's gonna be a lot of you could probably start looking for a lot of this stuff getting it when it gets close to Black Friday. There might be a lot of sales, and Nintendo's pretty much pushing a lot for the 3DS, and even with the 2DS getting new colors and stuff like that. So it's going to be really entertaining to see what bundles are going to come out. So, you know, of course you got Pokemon Omega Red and Sapphire Blue coming out, so there might be 3DS and a 3DS XL coming out for those too, and they probably will do it. They did it for X and Y, so it'll be cool to see it come out for this holiday season. Moving on, this one is by Chris Carter again, and it says Watch Dogs for Wii U now has a potential release date, and this is actually an update, and then it says thanks Ubisoft Mexico. Let me give you the original story first. I know a number of people are still patiently waiting for Watch Dogs to hit the Wii U before they play it. Yep, just patiently waiting. After months of nebulous "We'll release it when we're ready," statements from Ubisoft, the Mexico branch may have just spilled the beans. According to a post, the wait is coming to an end with a November 18th release. "We reached out to Ubisoft for comment, but for now it seems highly likely that November is the current target." And then the update says, "Ubisoft has confirmed to Destructoid that Watch Dogs will be available on Wii U on November 18th. So that's good to see that the game is still coming out in this plan for the 18th. And even though Ubisoft says they plan not to release any more M-rated game, mature games on the Wii U, Activision is going to be releasing The Voice for the system, not believe all the other systems. So we should actually see how that pans out. But the problem with Watch Dogs coming out so late is that people are just like, well, it's probably going to be cheaper. Like, you can order from Amazon, stuff like that, or get it from a friend or anything like that. Or buy, like, use from GameStop and stuff. You can pretty much play it on the other platforms at this time. And, you know, they got new DLC and stuff come out. And Ubisoft is probably going to be like, well, no one really bought it on Wii U. Well, because you guys decided to delay that game to get all the other versions out. Because you think it was going to sell. And yes, you did. They did sell 1 million, I believe. Probably across all 4 platforms. But, you know, they could have sold more, and a lot of people really said it was okay and it was good for what it was. But because of Mario Kart 8 and playing other games, definitely with the summer coming and E3 coming, people were getting ready for their backlogs and stuff like that. They kind of just like, well, if you play one mission or you play certain missions and Watch Dogs, you pretty much played the whole game. So it kind of gave a lot of rinse and repeat mechanisms for a lot of players, and they kind of moved on for that. But it's still good to see that it is coming out for Wii U. Like I said, I prefer to play it on Wii U, and hopefully they did work on it, and it's a really good game. I could have got it for PlayStation 3, but I decided not to get it for that system. Definitely to see what, you know, definitely with me, I love showing the Wii U, my Nintendo support. I love playing my Wii U. I do enjoy games on it. Definitely with a lot of great games coming out for it from this holiday season and for this fall and winter. And definitely looking forward to The Legend of Zelda for next year. There's a lot of great games from Nintendo and some indie games that's coming out. And it's kind of shame that I say that, because anything from third party, if they're not really, you know, if they're not moving anything that I'm really looking forward to, I'm really not going to care. To actually tell the truth, and I was speaking to one of the members of the Koopa Club. You guys can check them out also on Facebook and listen to their podcast at Koopa Club. That's Q-O-O-P-A Club with a K-L-U-B. Check them out. Listen to their podcast. Really, really good bunch of guys. They're really funny and stuff like that. And they know their games are, and it's just really good to listen to them. But I was talking to one of their podcasters. We got talking about Final Fantasy. There's a rhythm curtain call coming out next week. I believe next Tuesday, or it's coming out next Friday. Hopefully it comes to the eShop. I couldn't find the first Final Fantasy there, Sabrina, and I really do. I'm pretty much going to order the game because I really, really want to play that game. I'm really excited. The reviews came out. The reviewers been giving it an 8.0, so I'm really looking forward to that game coming out. Really cannot wait to play it. I miss Elite Beat Agents, and I wish it really came out. They made a new one that came out for 3DS. Hopefully they got something like that planned for E3 of 2015. That's just me. I'm gonna move on for that. So that's a little thing about me. Really cannot wait to that game. I really cannot wait. I really want to play that game. I haven't played a music game on a handheld in a long time. Actually since Elite Beat Agents. There we go. Moving on, this one is by Jordan DeVore. He's the managing news editor on Destructoid. His is Nintendo is streaming games for 8 hours on Friday. Treehouse returns. So actually, this is going to be going on tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, I think it's 10 a.m. I know it's 10 a.m. to like 1 p.m. or something like that. It's kind of weird. I know they said for 8 hours and stuff. I was quite fond of Nintendo's Treehouse streams during E3 this year, and it's so nice to see the company continue down that path. You all seem to like them too. The next major stream from Nintendo of America's product development division is set for Friday, September 12th. This is something you'll probably want to have playing in the background throughout the day, and it's an 8-hour live stream. Nintendo says to expect gameplay for upcoming Wii U and 3DS titles, as well as look at the final version of Super Smash Bros. For 3DS. This is going down on Twitch. I'll be sad if that new Yoshi game is neglected. Nintendo of America has a Twitch thing, so 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So it should be like 10 a.m. I think it's 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And you can check their Twitter account. And they basically are going to be doing like Hyrule Warriors, Bayonetta 2, Super Smash Bros. 3DS, Toad, Treasure Tracker, and some more games like that. So pretty much all the games that's coming out for this fall. And they'll probably, I think they said they will have new announcements and things like that. Moving on, this is by Jordan again, and it says Batman Arkham Knight won't launch until June. Everybody know it actually got delayed. Just 1 second. And then it says special editions detail. Story is as follows. While we'll have plenty to keep us busy later this year, particularly next month, a bunch of the games that are most testing my patience aren't releasing until 2015. Batman Arkham Knight is one of them. Today, Warner Brothers announced a worldwide launch date, June 2nd, 2015. Considering how high expectations are for Rocksteady's return to the franchise, I'm thankful the studio isn't rushing too much. This one's got to count. As part of the release date news, a pair of special editions were also detailed. The limited edition is $99.99 and comes with an 80-page art book, a steel bookcase, the Batman Arkham Knight No. 0 comic book, 3 exclusive skins from the New 52, and a Batman memorial statue. There's also a Batmobile edition priced at $199.99, which swaps the aforementioned memorial statue for, a fully transformable Batman statue by Triforce. And actually, there's additional news to this that I just read today, that it's exclusively to the PS4 in Japan. It won't be coming out to Xbox One when the game is released. So I kind of figured this game was going to get delayed because they showed more trailers than they showed any kind of gameplay. And I feel like the game wasn't really ready to come. They did a whole bunch of announcements, but they didn't really, I feel like they didn't really lock it in and give any kind of notice about that. Moving on, this is by Chris Carter, titled PSA. Check your Wii U Deluxe promotion balance. The program ends this December. It's really easy to forget. It's very, very easy to forget that Nintendo has a promotion going on for Wii U Deluxe owners. So those who own the Black Wii U, they're part of the Deluxe Digital Program. For everyone who opt for that version of the console, you get 10% back from eShop purchases in the form of $5 gift cards. As a reminder, the promotion started in December 2012 and will end in December 2014. You will have until March 2015 to spend all your points, so get to it. So you can actually go to Nintendo's website and see how the program works if you're on the Wii U promotion, the Wii U Digital, Deluxe. If you own the Deluxe Wii U, which is the 32 gig hardware, you're part of that promotion automatically. And anyone who's been recently picking it up and registering their system through Club Nintendo, getting a setup, you should have the the deluxe package. I actually used it to get Earthbound for my system. So, you know, I do buy a lot of eShop games, and there's a lot of good sales that's going on from the Wii U and even with the 3DS, but mostly for the Wii U, a lot of great games are on there. So really check it out if you have one. And like I said, you can go to Nintendo's website and check how the program is set up and get to know about it. Moving on, this one is from Chris Carter again. Xbox Live Rewards Program slightly revamped. New rewards methods. The Xbox Live Rewards Program is getting a little simpler. From now on, if you spend $150 a year, you'll actually get 1% back. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a lot, but if you earn more ranks, you can get up to 5%, and if you're a gold member, the amount is double, so 10% back is the max. Also, if you buy any $360 games on demand, you'll earn $20 back in credit up to November 30th. Like the Nintendo Rewards Program for Wii U Pro owners, I enjoy checking my email occasionally and find out I have an extra few bucks to spend. So anyone who's on the Xbox Live Rewards program can check it out, and you could go to Microsoft's Twitter feed where they have something that says Xbox Live Rewards for Twitter, or you can go to Microsoft page and look up for the Xbox Live account and see how that program runs. Because I don't own a 360 or Xbox One, I don't actually know how that program goes. But it sounds, like I said, it sounds similar to the Wii U one. But I think that one is just like with indie games where Wii U is like, well, same thing as Wii U, but they don't give you that much percentage back and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's a good thing. This one is by Stephen Hansen. This is the Destructor. He's the features editor there. His one is, Madden 15 is an extra scummy ripoff on PS3 and 360. I'm as Madden as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. And the story goes like this, and it's kind of a long story, so just bear with me. EA usually says its most blatant hack jobs for consoles, where it's less likely to draw ire. FIFA 14 of Vita was a red skin of FIFA. FIFA 14 on Vita was a reskin of FIFA 13 on Vita, which was a reskin of FIFA Soccer. Before you snark about, aren't all sports games? No, they are not. They have perceptible changes beyond roster updates. In this instance, that was not the case. Same when EA re-released FIFA 12 as FIFA 13 on the Wii, or when FIFA 13 on 3DS was re-released as FIFA 14 on 3DS. The $40 video game contained no updates to gameplay or game modes, only updated kits and rosters. So that's when you can snark about it being a roster update. Except that snarking isn't sufficient, because this is just mess. Stop re-releasing the games. Madden 15 is better than its predecessor, but not on PS3 and Xbox 360. These versions have some of the improvements that you can read about in my Madden 15 review. So if you check that out on the short story, you can read this review. So it's not a complete re-release, but a lot of them are missing, including its only saving grace, the new defensive view and player lock mechanics. And everything still looks fuzzy, and Jim Nett's horrifying corrugated face is a weird juxtaposition to fill Sam's slather and Vaseline soft glow. It also runs horribly. It is slow. I spent lots of time angrily dumbing through Twitter while waiting for the games to end. To begin, for the week to advance the franchise. Outside of slow loads, the UI is clunky, even non-responsive. This includes out of game bits, but also the playbook and game, where sometimes you pick a play and the game will freeze for a bit, long enough to leave you wondering if you have to get up and reset the thing, never did, to a slim credit. And often enough that making it part of a drinking game would be hazardous. I'm mostly sorry I couldn't have had this up for lunch last week and saved some people who read the positive reviews of Madden 15 from buying a junky, janky, and inferior version. This is what we get when an exclusivity deal between EA and the NFL is in place. Thanks to our fertile love for football, EA knows it will still make money, and so it does. And pretty much, I think people kind of stopped playing Madden and started playing Destiny. Sorry, EA, that's just how the cookie crumbles. Moving on, that's all the, well, I got one more story from Destructoid. And then I'll get on to Game Politics, Game Informer, and IGN with their stories. Moving on, this one is by Jordan DeVore. Shigeru Miyamoto made an animated Pikmin short film, screaming next month in Tokyo. Famed Nintendo designer Shigeru Miyamoto has produced an animated short film based on the Pikmin series that will debut at the 26th Tokyo International Film Festival next month. The film, Pikmin Short Movies, is made up of three episodes: The Night Juicer, in which Captain Olimar makes his favorite juice; Treasures in a Bottle, in which Pikmin meet a strange treasure; Occupational Hazards, a big adventure to a construction site. Following the screening on October 25th, Miyamoto will give a talk with Nobu Kawakami, the chairman of Dewango and a producer trainee at Studio Ghibli, at Toho Cinema's Ninobashi. I'll be hugely disappointed if the short doesn't eventually end up online. Pikmin seems like such a terrific fit for the medium, and I'll be especially curious to see how Miyamoto's talents translate. In an ideal world, we get a feature-length clay animated film. And if anyone has actually watched E3, I think last year or 2 years ago, when the Pikmin were running around Reggie's desk or Iwata's desk, it was really nice to, I think it's, yeah, Iwata's desk, running around at the beginning of the introduction for their press conference. It was really nice and really cute, and I just, there's something about looking at the Pikmin in motion on TV and not really playing the game, because the game is amazing. I love the game. It really brings you in. These days are throwing me out. Sorry about that. I had to read something. It's really good to see that they get animated, and I still think the Pikmin are some of the cutest, most wanted plushies that I still need to find, because every time I see a story get them, they always end up being sold out. But it's good to see that Miyamoto has produced an animated short, three shorts based on that series. And hopefully, like Jordan says, that it does end up online, because I really, really want to see it. And I don't care if it's good or if it's bad or anything like that. I'm going to find it very, very entertaining. Moving on to Game Politics, this one is just from one of their staffs. This is from GamePolitics.com. The title is Legal Scholar: Davis versus Electronic Arts, Perfect for Supreme Court Review. An appellate case in court this week brought by former NFL players over the use of their likenesses in video games created by Electronic Arts could make its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, according to William Ford, a professor who teaches intellectual property law at the John Marshall Law School in Chicago. On September 11th, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals will hear oral arguments in Davis versus Electronic Arts, case number .12-15737. A class action lawsuit filed by three retired NFL players, Michael Davis, Vince Ferragamo, and Billy Joe Dupree, sorry about that, messing up their names, against Madden NFL publisher Electronic Arts. The former players claimed that EA violated their rights of publicity by using their likenesses and the likenesses of other retired players without their permission. Electronic Arts has little chance to prevail before the Ninth Circuit on this issue to be argued this week, Ford said in a press release discussing the case. That's due to the court's previous decision in Keller v. Electronic Arts, case number 10-15387, Ninth Circuit. The issue is ripe for a Supreme Court review, Ford said of the NFL case. There is a lot of confusion in the lower courts about how to reconcile the right of publicity with the First Amendment rights of game makers. And the lawsuits keep coming, including one recently filed by Lindsay Lohan, case number 156443, New York Supreme Court, against the publisher of Grand Theft Auto V. Arguably, we already have a circuit split on this issue, given the Circuit's favorable decision for a fantasy baseball provider in 2007. Ford goes on to say that the highest court in the land has not addressed the right of publicity since 1977. And then it says you can learn more about Ford by visiting www.jmls.edu. So it's still going on. And it's kind of the same thing that's that actually happened with the NCAA football game. I don't believe they're making anything. EA decided to stop making the game for the consoles and stuff. Or if they do bring it back, I think it's just going to be generic players. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes on. Moving on to Game Informer, this is actually a review by Matt Burtz, and this is on NHL 15, and it's kind of a long one, and it, you know, they gave it a rating of 5.5, and then they talked about at the end of it, like the last gen difference from the PS4 and the Xbox One version, but it's kind of a shame that they just gave it like they did it like that. I'll read a little bit of it. During the transition to the PS3 360 from the prior generations, EA Sports made a gross miscalculation in stripping many long-established modes from the new versions of its games. This put off lifelong fans who expected more or at least equal value on their new systems. Matter took years to recover from this gaffe, and moving into the PS4 Xbox One era, EA assured us it won't make the same mistakes twice. NHL 15 proves that is a bald-faced lie. Don't let the allure of authentic arenas and approved NBC branded commentary fool you. NHL 15 is a colossal disappointment. Missing modes like the 6-on-6 EASHL, GM, Connected, and Live the Life, NHL 15 starts the game down a man. When you add the fact that existing modes like Be a Pro and Be a GM have been fundamentally stripped of essential features, it's downright insulting to hockey fans everywhere. At first glance, Be a GM looks like a fresh new experience thanks to its new menus. Spend a few hours with the mode and, like an undisciplined hockey club, it slowly starts to reveal its flaws. The RPG-style upgrade system for your GM is gone, as is the ability to play games with your AHL franchise. You can scout for prospects during the season, but EA inexplicably removed the ability to control the fate of your franchise in the draft. While you would have one without the other is mystifying. The mode also lacks the ability to start with a fantasy draft. Be a Pro slides into the boards head first as well. EA removed the rookie showcase that determined your draft position, deleted the minor leagues from the equation altogether, and doesn't even bother to offer a critique or grade of your performance during games. You can't even sail to the next shift, which means you get to sit and stew in the penalty box if you draw a 5-minute major for fishing. Oh, major for fighting. Sorry about that. Read it wrong. EA says it plans to add some of these missing features like 5-on-5 online team play, no human control goalies, the GM draft, and Be a Pro coach grades in the next few months. Even with their inclusion down the line, NHL 15 still faces insurmountable deficit. I wish I could say things get better when you take the ice. For the transition to the new consoles, EA touted its brand new puck physics and multiplayer collision. These small advancements are welcome. I especially think the puck physics change the way you play around the net, but they do little to make up for the deficiencies found everywhere else on the ice. Defensive controls like stick lifts and poke checks have been severely marginalized against AI opponents, which means your best bet to play sound defense is patrol passing lanes in the middle of the ice instead of actively engaging puck carriers. These controls work better against human opponents online. Even if you play sound defense, though, your save goalies will let you down by giving up bad angle goals. I already had a goalie with a save percentage over .800 in offline play, even if they face a low number of shots from low percentage areas. The slightly modified skill stick still gives you the opportunity to dazzle crowds and breeze past defenders with a few new moves, but don't expect much support from your AI line mates. Playing with these disinterested pylons is like playing with a team full of Danny Heatlays, who are more than willing to get into scoring position but offer no support along the boards. Rarely recognize when it's time to break out the defensive end and struggle to defend the backside from cross-ice passes that leads to one-timers. Some serious bugs also plague the on-ice experience. During my time with the game, one backhand that sailed over the net was counted as a goal. A referee blew a shootout dead while I was in the mid-shot, and I witnessed a puck gravitate through the net to a defender's stick, so much for realistic puck physics. With the startling amount of missing content, kneecap modes, and uneven gameplay in NHL 15, either EA Sports isn't giving EA Canada the same level of resources as its other sports franchise, or development team is woefully incapable of negotiating a console transition. If the publisher don't care to put a winning effort into its NHL series, hockey fans have no reason to jump over the boards and buy the game. And there's also a thing on Facebook that says boycott NHL 15. And it's like it's really, really funny. I can't believe they even said that. Defend the backside. Welcome, Mr. Nomad. Thank you for joining me tonight. Moving on to the next one. And this is kind of a little bit more Nintendo news. This one is on the on IGN by Neil Rohagen. This week in the Nintendo eShop. This week has another Smash Brothers related sale, this time focusing on Zelda, Pit, and many more. In addition to a pair of interesting games on Wii U, the first is Tales Legrand, a puzzle platformer with a focus on magnetism, and a second due out earlier next week. Kickbeat. Both games have come out on other platforms before where they were well received, and other games out this week are the NES version of Adventure Island on the Wii U Virtual Console and a trio of 3DS download games. Lastly, if you feel like dancing, check out the Just Dance sale on Wii U. And then they give all, they tell all the games that's coming out and their prices on there. So, and definitely check out the Smash Brothers sales, which I could tell you right now. But they have, for Wii U, and for the 3DS, The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds for 3DS is now $29.99. A Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past for Wii U is $4.99. The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages and for Seasons, both for 3DS, are $3.99. The Legend of Zelda The Minish Cap for Wii U is $4.99. F-Zero is $4.99 for Wii U. Fire Emblem Awakening for 3DS is $29.99. Mega Man for 3DS, Mega Man 2 for 3DS are both $3.49. Mega Man X and Mega Man X2 for Wii U are $4.99 each. Kid Icarus Uprising for 3DS is $24.99. Kid Icarus on the Wii U is $3.49, which is the NES version. And Sonic the Hedgehog on Game Gear for the 3DS is $3.49. And this is to go up with the Smash games. Every week, they have different characters from the rosters. They're going to be having sales on their games. So you can check it, like I said, you can check it out on 3DS or on Wii U or sorry about that. Go on Nintendo's webpage and check it out. It's going to be it's really interesting. I'm definitely getting the Mega Man X and X2 for Wii U. I'm definitely picking up the Zelda games for 3DS and for Wii U. Sorry for being a nerd, but that's just me. And I'll probably end up picking up Fire Emblem also. I lost my 3DS and it had that game on it, so I gotta rebuy the game, and I really just want to dig into it. It's a really, really fun game, anyone who owns a 3DS. But moving on, and I want to talk about movies and things like that, but you guys could probably hear the Critical Hit Anomalous this Sunday of their record live. Talk about a lot of things about movies. It should be really, really interesting. I'm gonna do one more story before I get on a little bit more to the topic and let you guys go, because it's almost gonna be an hour, so I'm gonna keep you guys pretty much waiting. Sony's going to be cutting the PlayStation Store from the PSP coming real soon. So if anyone who still has it, you pretty much could pick it up and just go from there. One second. I got to reload. There we go. Yay. Everything is fixed. Google always crashes for some unknown reason. We'll be talking movies soon enough. Oh, yes, we will. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Okay, before I get on to the Sony thing, I don't know if anyone knows about this. So it seems that Captain America, The Winter Soldier, has come out. And if you go to Target, they had the 3D Blu-ray and the regular, they had the 3D Blu-ray, the Blu-ray, and the HD download, digital download. And apparently they messed up online for that sale. It's supposed to be $19.99, and they quickly sold out. And they got the regular Blu-ray one, which doesn't have the additional download or don't have the DVD on it. They got that one on sale for $19.99. And then you get the DVD, I believe, $17.99 or $14.99. And you pretty much, if you're lucky to find it, and they that sale is going still going on, you know, go for it. I said to myself, and this is just me, I didn't really care for the Blu-ray 3D. And for some movies, I will do the digital code. But sometimes I'd be like, well, I just got the Blu-ray and I could just watch it here at home. Or if anyone got it, you know, I'll just watch it there. Because I'm like trying to watch it on my computer stuff again, hooked on the Wi-Fi and all of that stuff. Don't got time for that. I'd rather just pop it in my system, watch it, and enjoy it. I did purchase the movie, but I just haven't watched it yet. But I'm going to read a little bit about the Sony story, and then I'm going to get into the topic just for a few more minutes. At this time, North America PSP users will still have access to the PlayStation Store as Sony continues to evaluate market trends in order to determine what is best for all other regions. This is likely all part of Sony's shift to focus slowly on the PlayStation Vita handheld, which they began moving toward earlier this year when it was announced that they will no longer be shipping any more PSP units worldwide. Keep it locked to IGN to learn about any other regions that may be affected in the future. And they're saying that starting September 15, the PlayStation Store will no longer be accessible for PlayStation Portable users in several regions, including Europe, Oceania, Asia, and some parts of Africa. So, you know, if anyone is still playing the PSP, you know, just check. Let's see, Marvel movies don't do the Blu-ray DVD combo anymore. Oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought they was doing it. I've watched the Cap 2 at least 3 times since Tuesday. Well, okay. Thank you, Nomad, for that. I definitely, like I said, I got it. It's in my PlayStation 3. And definitely after the show, I'm going to cut it on and I'm going to watch it. And see if I miss anything. I think the last movie thing has to be the Wolverine, because I know the Wolverine came with the Blu-ray and the DVD. So that might be the last one, like you said. And I don't know when the next X-Men movie is coming on the Blu-ray. That might be the same thing. But it's kind of weird that they decided to do that. That's very odd of them. But hey. But let me get back to the main topic about being a Valve gamer. And I kind of gave you a little bit of my idea of what I think about it. It's not justifiable. you should never be a person that responds on a comment or a blog or any kind or a news story, anything like that. You shouldn't be disrespectful to other gamers. If we're supposed to be a community that, you know, of people who want to play great games and even play bad games and get a laugh out of it, but, you know, who want to enjoy new experiences and things like that, everybody has a right to their own opinion. And, you know, you could always disagree with somebody. You could always, you know, say, you know, what your opposition is, but you can also do it in a direct manner. Respectful manner. Thor 2 didn't have it either. Oh, okay. I had to talk to you about the Thor 2, because, yeah. But going back to it, where does the anger and vitriol come from? People who like to be vile on the comments boards or forums or to other gamers like on Xbox Live or PSN when they're talking. You know, a lot of that stuff, and I kind of talked about this earlier on the episode, is that why is it, you know, people who don't agree with you need to receive the disrespect that you give them? And I'm just speaking to people who go online and just say vile things about it. Yes, you might be angry, but you might take stuff a little bit too serious and a little bit too far. And it gets to the point where, you know, yes, banning you and stuff like that, or reporting you, you know, stuff like that will happen. But have you ever just look at what you're writing or responded to somebody and just said, this shouldn't be me as a gamer. This shouldn't be the stuff that I say to another person that I don't know and I don't see? You should never get to the point where you want to kill somebody or you want to come to their house and rape them, regardless if it's a man or a girl. You shouldn't be able to get onto the comment section and belittle people and think that's going to win you favors or anything like that. Now, if everybody know here on Optional Opinion, I respect everybody's opinion. You know, I laugh at them sometimes because I do agree with them sometimes, but I do also, you know, just give my opinion about it. But like I said, I also get some options for it. When I do Optional Opinion as a blog on IGN, I do get a lot of comments, and, you know, I respect everybody, and I do say I agree, or I try to, you know, give more detail of why I go to that opinion. And I kind of have one person say to me, you can't think for everybody. And I did apologize that I do say we a lot, because I try to just say, like, a general, you know, and I told them I use it in a general sense. I don't mean to say that everybody thinks this way, but I'm like, when I'm writing stories like this and I'm reading people's responses and when I'm talking to other gamers and things like that, they're kind of, we kind of on a somewhat the same level for it. And this one person, and, you know, I don't say names and things like that, you know, thought they had the best of me, and he wasn't vile or anything like that. You know, he kind of felt like, you know, he broke my opinion and, you know, his options was better, and so he felt like he won this argument. And to me, I felt like it really wasn't much of an argument. It's really much just a topic that I put out and that I spoke on, because even if you feel like that you won it, the topic is there for everybody to read and make their own judgment, give their own opinions, give their own options and things like that. I don't say that this person is right. I don't say that this person is wrong. But if you see a trend in the video game industry and I report on it, just from my view of seeing it, it's just my opinion. But I, like I said, I try to give some options to it, and I always value everybody's opinion who responds to it. And I really don't, for me personally, I don't get upset with people who want to be vile. I kind of feel disappointed sometimes that as grown gamers, when even with teenager stuff, we're grown gamers that's supposed to be adults and mature. Why are we saying this to other grown gamers and bickering and fighting over little stuff? And it's just like, what's justifiable of being right? You know, doing 10,000 things to look like you're number one. And within those 10,000 things, you're destroying a lot of stuff, and you're making people believe that you're someone who, you know, not saying you're someone, you know, not to you listeners or anything like that, but just using it in a general sense. There's people who think that if they're vile to another gamer, that they win the argument. And that person who they're vile to don't know nothing, about something. And so it's just like, have we gotten to a point as gamers that we should be, you know, number one in our opinion, and no one else knows anything about it? You know, we don't make video games. We are just gamers that play these products that will developers make. And we could respond in a positive or in a positive understanding manner, or we could respond in a negative manner, but also get some key points about things that we liked about it. We shouldn't be going out and just saying that, you know, being shown that how racist, how a bigot, how, you know, we want to commit a crime. I think I read on the story, one guy who, and I forgot the name of it. I gotta look for the story, and so I'll probably report on it next week. Who called the SWAT team on an Xbox Live player, and they invaded the dude's house, another player's house, and things like that. Or swatting, that's what they called it. And it said in the report that the kid who did it, who was 17, I believe he's 17, 16 or 17 years old, he got caught from it. They called him, you know, the SWAT team actually caught the person who actually did the calling and reporting. He got 25 years to life for pulling it. 25 years to life. He's only 17. He will not be able to play any other video game or enjoy anything in his life because he did this trick, or he was upset, so he pulled this. Now, I don't know if this story is true or not. That's why I said I really need to look it up and make sure that the resources are, you know, are really factual. But to actually see someone get caught and get 25 years to life for doing things like that, for being a vile gamer and pulling a stunt like that, that's crazy. Is to see that, yes, even though we're protected by the First Amendment when we say things online to other people, even you know, just chatting and stuff like that, there are gamers who get really out of pocket for no apparent reason. Why? Even with people do it in sports, people do it at movies, people do it, you know, playing board games. You see kids doing it at school sometimes, and it's just like, why? You know, definitely I've seen it just in philosophy of religion, and that some people really act just really lose it. You know, their anger actually shows, it's really just weird. It's just like, okay, we're actually here to learn about it and have a discussion about it. We're not here to change nobody's minds or anything like that. We just want to have a discussion. There's going to be points that we're all going to agree upon, and there's going to be points that we don't agree upon, because individually we're going to see what's right and we're going to see what's wrong. And you can, and you like us, and I'm not saying that you can't, you can never have an opinion about anything and display it in a manner that upsets you and stuff, but it should never get to the point where you want to do a criminal act and you just lose your cool over the internet playing, you know, over a video game that she might not even be playing by next week or in a month and a half. You know, so it's kind of weird, you know, and definitely even when I go on Facebook and I see some of my friends and they talk about the stuff that they encounter with them being gamers and stuff like that, it shocks to me. And I do respond to them and just be like, you know what, here's some encouragement. And you can probably hear it from all other people. But I'm a person that, you know, regardless if you're going to be getting stuff from a Valve gamer, I encourage you to do something. Continue to do what you do in this gaming industry. If you are a charitable person and you do good things within the gaming community, continue to do that. Because the person who's being vile has never taken a step in your shoes to do what you're doing. You know, and I'd rather see you as, whether you're grown or a teenager or as a child, I would rather to see you continue to flourish in games and enjoy them for what they are. Have fun with them. If there's someone who doesn't like you because you play a video game, let them deal with that. You enjoy the games that you like to play. You write your blogs and you respond necessarily and you respond with respect with your head held high. You know, keep your dignity. You know, keep yourself in, you know, be like, regardless if you like my opinion or not, guess what? I'm still going to go to the store, buy a video game, put it in, play it, and share my thoughts. I'm going to make a topic about it. You know, I'm a discussing things like that. And that's what I feel like with optional opinion. You know, regardless of people don't like, we have different discussions about the movies or the video games or TV shows or anything in the arts and entertainment industry. But definitely for this show, for the video game industry, I don't mind having good discussion. And I try my best not to lose my cool, which I don't lose my cool. I really kind of laugh at it sometimes. It's just be like, okay, I see where you're going at. And I do say, yeah, you're right, you're true. Even with me being sometimes biased with Nintendo stuff, I always show Sony and Microsoft the respect. I try my best to show third parties, even though I have a view of Rockstar and things like that. I try to play their games before I give my opinion and not just sit on the sideline, just be like, this game is this game is that, or you gamers who like this kind of genre, you suck. I don't do things like that. My thing is to go on, you know, have a good discussion. And one of my big bro hands, like, we talk about Grand Theft Auto 5 and he talks about Nintendo, so I get on him about Grand Theft Auto 5, he gets on me about Nintendo. But I still love him as a brother, and you know, regardless of what he says and what he thinks about Nintendo and what I say and what I think about Grand Theft Auto 5 or Rockstar in general, there's always a mutual respect. Because anytime he's feeling down or anytime he starts talking about the Chicago Bears and stuff like that, I might sometimes joke with him, but I always encourage him. I always send my love to him and just be like, regardless of whatever we think and stuff like that, we'll always be friends. And I tell him that I feel like you're family. And regardless of what you say, regardless of the ups and downs, I'm always respect you and love you like family. And that's the kind of person I am. And that's how I feel like when I comment back to people on IGN or for my optional opinion blogs and stuff, that I respect the people who comment on there. Even if they disagree, I always say I agree, or you know, I try to get some more understanding to them and like point and explain more of why I wrote the blog and explain more about why I think that way, so they could get a better understanding, whether they still agree or not. But that's just me. So to anyone who is a vile gamer who hears this, chill out. It's not that necessary. These are just games that you can't take them with you when they die. You're not making these games. They shouldn't reflect your anger and your emotions. You know, you shouldn't be on websites saying things to women or responding to stories in a negative manner. You know, show some respect and some courtesy. Have some gamer etiquette. And if you don't know what that is, talk to people who, you know, who knows how to respond in the right manner. And, you know, talk to friends. And everybody, like I said, everybody won't always be on the same page, but that's good. That's what opinions are for. That's what options is for. That's what this show is about, optional opinions. I respect everybody's opinions, and I want to hear options. That's all I ever ask for when I bring the topics and things to the show. Is that I just want to hear everybody's opinion, and I want to hear everybody's options. Because sometimes I feel like it's not just my opinion that needs to be said. I want to hear everybody's opinion on just this topic. Give me an idea so I could say, you know, what you're telling me, so I could respond to it. And then, you know, just be like, you're part of this conversation, you're part of the show, because you're giving me those opinions and you're giving me those options. And like I said, I love everybody's opinion. I love everybody's options. I love everybody who tune in or who just, you know, listen to the archive for the podcast. It's really good. With that being said, I got to go because it's been an hour, and I think most of the show been with me reading a whole bunch of news stories. But thank you guys for tuning in. You can email me your opinions and your options at myop2comment@yahoo.com. That's MYOP, the number 2, COMMENT @yahoo.com. You guys can check other great shows on here, like The Critical Hit Anomalous, Good Vibes Project Playlist. I believe The Think Tank is coming back. Hopefully. Yay! Woo! Anyone who's interested in the paranormal need to check them out when they record and they post their podcasts. But give those shows a listen. I believe LCGH will be coming back, and Guerrilla Radio will be coming back. Hopefully I can make a return appearance on Critical Hit Anomalous. I do enjoy talking to those guys. Just got to get a schedule thing. Genreology is still coming. Fanology, we're still trying to get the name together, will be still coming soon. Still got to get the equipment and things for that. Still working out the fine print. That's going to be a really good show. Having that discussion, I am planning to get that discussion, comic book discussion, with Dak Nomad from the Critical Hit Anomalous, and I am planning on getting that sports discussion with John O'Hagan. I'm sorry if you heard that. I don't know, I'm going to be in trouble for that. Those shows will be coming soon. I'm still supposed to be getting some new equipment coming in, so hopefully I could get the show to sound better. But like I said, thank you guys for tuning in. The Optional Opinion fan page for Facebook will be up soon, and the Twitter page will be also up soon. I still got to get my pictures because the weather has been bad, and I really want to take nice pictures out, actually outside, than doing anything like studio stuff like that. But thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully you guys had a great September 11th. It's actually 12:09 at the time, and I got a lot of games to download and play before I go to bed. So like I said, once again, you guys check out also check out my blogs at IGN under anime, ENIME, all small letters. You guys can check that out for optional opinion. Read some of my blogs there. I will be doing an optional opinion next week for it, for the blog, and I also will be doing my shows Mondays at 11 p.m. and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Sorry that I had to move the shows this week, because I had events coming up and some site maintenance to make sure that was taken care of. But thank you guys once again for tuning in, and I'm out. I gotta get this Mega Man X and X2. Peace. Oh, and also Zelda. Oh, one more thing. Anyone who's listening to the show, who's on Destiny, I would love to hear your guys' response to it, if it's a good game or not. I don't even know. I said I'm holding off the game. I will pick it up later. I'm looking for more debate in that too. But I really want more insight from people who actually have the game. They said, people tell me that it's fun, but that's pretty much it. So, thanks again, you guys, for tuning in. Now I'm out. Peace.